talk about common cause, right? I want to see if today somebody in this audience, I can say something that will inspire somebody in this audience so that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you'll be on a stage someplace in the future. Not necessarily a comic book stage. Not necessarily being an artist or writer. I'm just talking about being on a stage, period. Getting up there, right? So, how do you do that? Somebody has to, in your life, at some moment, without knowing it, make some kind of impact on you, even though they didn't even know they made an impact, and you just go, oh, I'm going to do it. It's the forks in the road that we all get, right? And we're all going to get it in life. We're all going to get it in life. And so I'll tell you how I got mine. There are clear moments that triggered for me what I wanted to do in life, and they had no idea, right? So, if we, let me see if I can remember this one. We're talking about you push it. How about this? Does somebody know how to work? Yeah. I don't know about that. Oh, hey, I got it. Okay, I'm good. Okay. So, I'm doing Spawn, right? I'm doing Spawn at, is there anyone? Oh, man, we tried that joke here. Obviously, it's not going to work. Somebody want? Yeah, I'm going to get it. Sure. All right, so here's my moment. I'm a Canadian, right? I don't know if any of you have been in the audience in Canada, but I'm a Canadian. And here's what I know about a comic book. I'm collecting comic books, I'm a freak. I'm going, oh my God, 16, I'm going to start collecting comic books. Comic books are published and, to my mind, drawn in New York City. New York City, right? I was a kid, not only in Canada, in Calgary, Alberta. I don't know if you guys know where Calgary, Alberta is, but do you know where Montana is? Go north. That's Calgary, right? And above that's Edmonton. That's where I was born and where I spent my formative years. I'm collecting comic books, and I'm going, oh, these are the coolest things. And I'm starting to sort of dabble in it a little bit, but never thinking that I can get into the business. And then the moment, for me, the moment happens. I'm in Calgary. This is pre-streaming. This is pre-cable. I'm flipping through the channels, and you guys know, many other people here, we have about 3 or 4 channels, and one of them was public access. And I'm flipping through the channels, and let me just tell you, I was a freak. I was collecting comic books. The best comic book at the in the marketplace at that point was John Byrne, Chris Claremont, X-Men, right? To me, that was a catch me out. Of all the books that I had, Claremont, Byrne, X-Men. And then, I'm flipping through the channel in Calgary, in Canada, and I see somebody holding up a page of artwork. I stop. Then they go in close, and it's a page of the X-Men, original artwork from the X-Men. I've never seen original artwork. And then the person holding the book was John Byrne. And I'm going, oh my God, this is the best day ever. And then the moment. John Byrne says, because I'm going, why is John Byrne on public access? John Byrne says, oh yeah, yeah, I live here in Calgary. Here's why, ladies and gentlemen. Because up to that point, I did not know or realize that you could live in Calgary and do comic books. I thought it was just, you have to live in New York, you have to go and know somebody there. It was this distant thing that I was never going to touch. I'm just going to be a fan. I can never touch it. Although I wanted to see if I could teach myself, I go, nah, it's never going to happen, Todd. And then the moment that I see that, to me, the best artist in the industry essentially lives a few miles from me. From that moment on, it was game on. I was off to the races. Because I go, John Byrne can live in Calgary and draw the best-selling comic book and somehow send it in or whatever they're doing to New York, then this little Canadian kid at least has a chance. That was it. That was my moment that I was like, I'm going to do this. And from that moment on, I put my head down and I started training myself to do comic book. Within that, within that period. I also, when I was 16, and I told the story before, I was a ball player. I went to school, played baseball at a high level. But when I was 16, I went to Florida for a baseball camp. And on the way back, as we were checking in, we were flying out in the morning to go back to Canada, there was a sign, because again, some of the old people know what I'm talking about. There was a little sign there that said, down the hall, comic convention. Not like what you have here now today. It was like a Holiday Inn. They literally were in a Holiday Inn. Some of the old folks, you guys have been to those ones, right? Yeah, if you remember, right? Just down the hall, and it was like a couple banquet rooms. And it said, convention. I went, boom, I'm going to go see what's happening there. And there were some of the people I was collecting their books. There was Mike Zapp. He was doing a Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu. And Pat Broderick, he was doing some cool sci-fi. And then Stan Lee. And Stan Lee was like, right there, outside. He wasn't even in the show. He was outside. And I went, oh my God, Stan Lee. Now, Stan Lee at 16, Stan Lee's a pope, right? And here's why. Because every comic book that I bought from Marvel Comics, at the top of the page, says the exact same thing. Stan Lee presents. So I didn't know who this dude was. I mean, I did. I found out by time since I know he was the guy creating all those characters. But he's such a big shot. He's got his name at the top of every comic book. Doesn't get much bigger than that, right? That guy, like, wow. So Stan was sitting there, and I was like, oh my God, I'm trying to break into comic books. And I go, Stan's sitting here. And I go, Mr. Lee, is it okay if I ask you some questions? I'm trying to break into comic books. Is it okay if I? And Stan Lee was sitting there, and there was a chair, and he grabbed the chair, and he pulled the chair next to him, and he said, sit down here, man. And for the next 4 hours, I peppered him with questions. Now, he was signing, so it was like, okay, I'm interfering in his signing. But let's go back. This would have been 1977. Stanley, although he was to me the Pope, wasn't nearly what he is when he died and took his final breath, right? Because Stanley, just so we know, because I have great honor of probably being on stage with Stan, sharing a stage with Stan probably more than any human being, and I'm gracious for that. Stan Lee had this weird career, this so real. Most people like start in the 20s, 30s, climb the mountaintop, and then in the 40s, 50s start to fade. There's a natural bell curve in our life. And then why? Because new, hipper, young, faster, more beautiful people come along, right? Just how it works, right? Like this. No, not Stan Lee. Stan Lee said, till I'm about 84, and I'm gonna start an acting career. Betty White? What are you talking? And then he started doing all the cameos, right? And all of a sudden everybody knew, besides the movies, went, they went crazy, and he went and they did whatever. It was amazing that he started this career all the way at the end. I didn't know that was going to happen. I'm just a 16-year-old boy in your family. And then he let me sort of ask all those questions. I went back home and I redoubled the moment of inspiration. I go, that guy gave me about 20 different tips that I could use, and I could do it from Calgary. I was gone. And then at that point, it just became tenacious. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm not here to say, let me sort of tie this a little bit. Sorry for not being here yesterday. I had this book, Spawn 300. I had to get it to the printer, and I had to go, and we just had to, I thought I could get it done in time to make the flight, but we couldn't, and I need to get the book out, right? In a couple weeks, Spawn 300 will come out, and then the next month, Spawn 301, which will set a world's record. And that world's record is the longest running creator-owned comic book ever. So when people are doing stories on it, and I'll tell you the same thing, I don't think the story is about Spawn. We can talk about that another day in the panel. I don't think the story is even about Todd or about Image or whatever else. The story to me is that you can turn what I'm doing into a generic business story. And that business story, and you've read it before, is that human being A comes up with an idea, goes up against the big companies, and succeeds. That's the story. We've read those stories from time to time. Here's what I know. The greatest enemy that any of us, I believe, in my life, I'm in my 50 now, so I only got a couple things. I think the greatest enemy that you will run into in your entire life, especially young people here, is status quo. Status quo is going to be the biggest enemy you're going to run into. Why? Because it is staggering to me how much people will rip status quo, which basically means you don't want to change. Here's what I know for a fact. There's only one constant, there's two constants to human beings. One, we all die. So that's going to happen. And two, change has happened since the dawn of man. Change always happens, and it's been happening. And yet, given that that's one of the constants, all we do is just grip trying not to change. And we grip it. So you're going to run into it in business, you're going to run into it in your job, you're going to run into it in school, that people are going to go, here's what you're going to hear. You're going to know if you've got an idea and you want to do something and you want to get it out, or you've got some efficiency, if you've got something you want to take to work or something like that, here's what won't happen in the world. Here's what won't happen historically. That those that are in power at that moment, that those that have the biggest market share, that those that are in control, that those that have status over you will not get out of the way and let you walk by them. They're not going to say, hey, what's your name?
Chez.
Chez?
Yeah.
Okay. Chez comes up and you've got an idea. They're not going to go, no, Chez, that sounds good. You know what? I'll just step aside, big corporation, big executive. Like, and you just go, no, they won't do that. Because their job is to protect their power base. Which basically means they're going to say these, and some of you may have heard these ones. Why don't you just get along and get along? Why don't you get a rock the boat? Right? Just go along for right now and we'll get this. You know what? I don't think that's a good idea for right now. And on and on and on. They're going to tell you no. Not because it's not doable. It's just they don't want the competition. It is that simple. They don't want the competition. Why would they? They're the king. Why would they want any competition? So it's easier to just tell everybody it's impossible. You'll never do it. You need a big infrastructure. You need all that. Blah, 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 blah. They're going to do it to you. And you've only got two options at that point. And it's a personality trait. So either you've got the personality or you can either go, no, you're right. No, that makes sense. Or you go tell them to fuck themselves. I'm not saying to go tell them to take a week. I'm saying that as long as you're spending your time and your effort, and for me, my own money to start my own corporation, then you can do whatever you want. Like, blow your money to it. Like, if you want to get a pink car or paint your house polka dot and you own it, it's yours. You get to do whatever you want, good, bad, or indifferent. So, but they are going to try and rail against you to say no, 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 no. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. I recommend everybody be an entrepreneur at least once in their life. Because why? Because if you fail, then go back to being an employee. This is easy. You're an employee, you're going to try it, you fail, we're back to being the other one. You've got nothing to lose. Why not? Why not? Why not do it? Why not ask? Why not? I tell my employees every day you should ask for a raise. Every day. You come to my office and ask for a raise. Why? Because if I say no, you're not worse off. Getting paid the same amount as you came in. You get me on a weekday, I say yes, you got more. There's no downside to asking, right? To asking, so you just ask. And you'll be surprised at times how many times those ask become yes, right? I was putting this Spawn movie together and they go, Todd, so what, we're never going to get a star. No, I think we might, but why don't we just ask? So I started dialing and phoning, and boom, Jamie Foxx comes on. It was like, they were like, wow, we didn't think you'd be able to get a star. And I go, no, let's go for another one. Todd, you're not going to get two. And then we got Jeremy Renner, right? So it was like, just ask them, and maybe they'll say no. So what? I asked Ryan Gosling, I asked Bradley Cooper, I asked them all. They'll say no. Then we can go to the rest of the other people. Why don't we just ask? Why don't we start at the top and ask? Like, what's the harm in asking? They don't even want to ask. the question that's sitting there, because they don't want to sort of change the status quo. I'll show you how crazy it was in my career. There was a point, which is one of the reasons I left Marvel Comic Books, where I was selling more comic books than any other human being that they were employing. And it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. Tom, you gotta stop doing that. Tom, you gotta change this. Stop. I was getting every time I went to New York, I would get a finger wide in my face. For selling more comic books than any other human being that they employ. Doesn't seem like if you're working for a corporation and they give you a job. Here's what I thought my job was. Sell books and make the money. I thought that was my job, right? I didn't know it was, and do it with a style that you approve of, right? Who cares what the style is? Who cares what the look of the book is? If the sales are going up, who cares? You guys are getting way too emotional. Because it was Spider-Man, and they had him on their corporate paper, and it was like, Tom, you're messing with it. So they were getting really sort of odd with me. And it was just eventually it just wore me out, and I ended up sort of taking off and going, no, we're not going to go. But here's how you get to 300 issues, going back to Spawn, here's how you get to 300 issues. It takes 27 years of my life to do that book, right? Just do the math. A book a month is 12. 10 years is 120. 20 years is 240, and then another 5 years you get to 300, and if you miss a couple and you have things called life, then it's 26, 27 years. There is no shortcut. There's no shortcut to getting there. But here's, as I'm doing the interview, here's the story. The story is human being A starts something that they have an idea, good, bad, or indifferent. They spent their own money, good on them, they started it, and 27 years later, the same person is still driving that idea. That person not only did not have to compromise to still be in charge of doing it, but I was able to succeed against the giants, right? So people actually ask me at times, they say, oh, Tom, hey, you do the toys, I go up against Hasbro and Mattel, and now, comic book go up against Marvel and DC, which is owned by Disney and Warner Bros. And they say, what do you do to sort of put a dent in them and to sort of hurt their business model? And how do you think this is going to affect them? It's not. That's not the goal. I don't wake up in the morning going, what can I do against Hasbro? What can I do against Mattel? I don't ever do Marvel. I don't even think of those things. The question is actually, to me, the wrong question. The question should be flipped. The question is, if Todd, will David, will Nat, will Steel? How are you not slaying the giants? What are you doing to hurt the giants? The question is wrong. The question is, how do they not hurt me? How do corporations that are worth $1 billion, that got nothing but 10,000 employees, and nothing but marketing and prowess on every level that I'll never touch, how do they allow me to exist? How, when you walk into Walmart, if I'm a Fortune 500 company, how do they even allow 1 foot of space to McFarlane Toys? Why can't the giants squish me? That's the question. Not how can I not squish the giant? How can the giant not squish me? That's the bigger question. And I'll tell you, because you can take advantage of this. Because corporations, and some of you may work for them, move slow. And if some of you work for them, you know what I'm talking about. Lots of meetings, lots of discussions, lots of things to think about whether you can do something, because why? Status quo. And I get it, they're making $1 billion, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if I had a $1 billion model, I personally would stick to that model. It's $1 billion, stick with it, let me recommend that. So, but in that model, they leave gaps. So I'm not trying to compete directly with them. So when I made the toys, I didn't sit there and go, oh my God, they make these little cute, fun little toys for five-year-olds, and they do all this little cute little Disney stuff. I'm gonna do that. I asked myself the question, what aren't they making? They're not making toys for 15-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 35-year-olds. They're not making cool stuff. I'll go there, right? They're not doing it, I'll go there. They left space. They wouldn't do R-rated movie toys, action figures. I'll do it. Right? So if you basically just put yourself in a position and at least ask and at least offer yourself up at every single circumstance. Whether you've got the talent or not, you'll be surprised how far you can go. Here's how it works. I can be the fifth, five people can be in a room, all artists. I can be the fifth best artist. The fifth best artist. Somebody comes in and says, I've got a job. I'm out of the five artists, I'm the worst. I can get the job. You know how I can get the job? Because the other four don't raise their hand, and I do. It's that simple. Shit, I'll do it. I'll do it. Who wants to do it? I'll do it. What are we doing? I don't even know what we're doing. I don't even know what we're doing. I got my hand up. And if the other four will not put up their hand, you get the job. So, if you can't take no for an answer, I don't think you got it in you. Right? You just gotta get, you gotta get going. I got hundreds of rejections when I tried to break in. I've got hundreds of no's along the way. And I just was dumb enough, delusional enough, immature enough, or tenacious. All those words all blend together. Depending on who you are, what word you actually use. So, I will give you the secret, I believe, on how to get past rejection. And this is easy. For me, this is easy. Assume the answer is going to be no. Done. Done. Walk into whatever meeting you're going into, whatever negotiation you're going to, whatever presentation you're going into, whatever it is that you're doing, and assume you're going to try out for the football team in high school. I don't care what it is. Assume you're not going to get the job. Try as hard as you can. Give 100% in that moment. But assume the answer is no. And if you don't get it, you nailed it. Right? You went, I know I'm not going to get this job. I don't know. And then they go, no, you don't get the job. And they go, nailed it. And you do that, and you do it for about maybe 3-4 months, and now you're on a hot streak. Now you're on a hot streak of no's, right? And you're turning into a baseball fan, Cal Ripken Jr. Now you're getting close to Cal Ripken Jr. You're going, shit, I'm up to 120 consecutive no's. Like, wow. And then the moment. And it's sort of a blessing and a curse moment that you go in, you give the presentation, you ask for the raise, you do whatever it is you want to do, you tell them what I want to do, and they say, and you go, thanks, and you walk, and they go, excuse me, Todd, where are you going? I go, oh, you're not going to hire me, and they go, yes, we are. Now, two things happen at that moment. First off, they screwed your hot streak. Right? You go, damn it, I had a streak going. And number two, you got a job. It's a pretty good day. All the other 120s, you nailed it, so you felt pretty good. And that one, when they break the streak, you've got a job. Here's what I wouldn't recommend, the opposite. So if you have the personality, it's the opposite, stop it. Stop listening to your mom. Set the bar high, I disagree. Set it as low as you can. No is way easier to get over than yes. You put the bar low, here's what happened with the low bar. Just so everybody knows, here's what happened with the low bar. I got a low bar, watch this. Over it. Over it. You put that bar here. You can't get that. That's gonna hurt, right? I don't know if you're gonna get there. Put it low. Not gonna make it, not gonna make it, not gonna make it, not gonna make it. It's easy. Because I have people in my family that do it the opposite. They think they're getting every job. They think they're getting every negotiation. They think they're getting every contract. They think they're getting all of it. And when they get those no's, everyone crushes their soul. And they just ache. And ache and ache each time because they thought everyone was going to be, today was going to be the day. Stop it. Assume it's going to be no. I guarantee you, from the stress level, it works way better. It works way better. So for me, I was just tenacious and I just kept going here. Now, here's let me give you another reason why you should want to, if anybody's creative, let me get a little more specific with comic books. As to why you should want to go and do comic book. And let me just backtrack real quick. I'll show you, remember I said you can have five people in the room and the four people raise their hand and you get the job. I've said to people before that my life, if I was to sort of boil it down, my life is I'm Donkey in the movie Shrek. That's all I am. No, it's true. I'm not saying it's a joke, I'm saying it's true. And specifically, it's the scene in Shrek. How many people see Shrek? That people see, oh, shoot, this is going to go good. So there's a scene in Shrek 1, not the other one, Shrek 1, where he says, He gathers everybody, like you guys. He's got everybody in fairyland. And he says, we've got to go save the damsel in distress. It's going to be a great adventure, and I need the bravest soul here. And you remember what happened next? The dummy in the back. Pick me! Pick me! Remember the arm going up? Pick me! Pick me! And you remember what Shrek's answer was? Anyone else? Anybody here? He didn't want him, because he knew that there was probably more skill, more talent, more intelligence in that room than that donkey in the back. But nobody else raised their hand, so guess who went on the adventure that day? Donkey. I am telling you, be donkey. Just raise your hand, and even if you're not good, and he wasn't that good, just tell him you can do it and figure it out on the fly. Always say yes. Always say yes. And I'm going to get some young people. Here's how it works, right? There's a young lady right there. What's your name?
Denise.
Denise? Hey, Denise, I'm going to give you some words of advice here. When your mom gives you an order, she says, Denise, what are you doing tonight, Friday? Going out to a party, Mom. And she goes, you're not going out until you clean up your room, Denise. Because that's what moms do. They tell you things. You go, so here's what you do. You just go, okay. Now, you're going to get picked up at 8. What time do you party? At 8. Okay, 8. 7:55, you come downstairs because somebody has basically texted you and said they're waiting outside. And you come down the stairs. Mom says, Denise, did you clean up your room? You haven't, but say yes. No, and here's why. Here's why. We've got to start forward thinking here a little bit, Denise. Here's what's going to happen to you. You can either come down the stairs, and you can say yes, and you leave, and you get to go to the party. You're going to be in trouble. And then you're going to have to clean your room, and it's a little bit of a conversation with your mom. Or you come downstairs and go, no, Mom. And she's going to go, then you get your room back up and you clean your room, and I don't care, and you're going to miss the party. Here's what I know. One of those options is go to a party and have a clean room eventually. The other one is don't go to a party and have a clean room. The room's getting cleaned on both of those versions. It's just one of them didn't get to go to the party. So say, yes, I cleaned it, Mom. Go do it. It's going to get done. And you're going to go there. How's it work for me? When they were sitting there saying, Todd, don't do the big eyes on Spider-Man. Don't do the spaghetti webbing. Don't. What do you think I said? That was my boss. That was the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comic Books. What do you think I did when I was in those rooms? Yes, sir. And then I just kept doing it. Why? For two reasons. One, I'm immature. Factor that in, and probably the big thing. And two, I knew it was going to take him 90 days for him to circle around back to my book. And three, I knew that the book was selling. I knew the book was selling. They gave me that book. It was like number 21 in the chart, and I took it to the top of the charts. Okay, I did my job, selling lots of books, taking it. It was going dip, 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 dip. And as it was going up, I knew that at some point they would have less and less to complain because it was going, I'm doing it. So each time they brought me back in, it was, instead of it being 12, it's now 8. And next time they complained, it was like 4, right? There was one moment, I had one of my last meetings with them. Some guy, I was in the editor, or the editor-in-chief room, and then some other guy, I'd never seen him before. I met like at Marvel, that's funny, and I was all buttoned up with a suit and tie. Looked pretty swanky. Came in with a big book. It was a big fat book. And he put it in front of him. And the editor-in-chief, we had one of those conversations. And I got the finger wagged and wagged and wagged. And finally on this day, I just went, look, boss, here's how it's gonna go. I don't know how you do it here in America, because I'm just a simple little Canadian kid. I thought you were hiring me to make cash for you. I make more cash for you and your company than any other human being that you got in your employ. I don't understand why I'm the bad guy. You're going to have to explain this one to me. So, I don't think you have to like me personally. I don't even think you have to like the way I dress or my attitude, none of it. You don't even have to like my art style. You don't have to like one thing. The sales are going up, right? Who cares how we get there? This is the status quo. Who cares how we get there? As long as I'm doing my job and making you money, who cares how we get there? And that was the moment then that person I'd never seen, like a big fat book, went like this, took that big book, opened it up, the editor-in-chief walked around him, and the guy went like this. That's all he did. And what I found out was that was a ledger book. That was an old accounting ledger book. And he basically was going, look at the cash the kid's bringing in. The kid's like, he's bringing this cash. And it was, and so it got harder and harder and harder for them to basically say anything about it. But they continued to do it, which is eventually sort of why I left. And where we go, we started Image Comic Books. Now, people are going to say, I'm here to say today, if you've got an idea and you want to do a comic book, today is the best day of your life to do it. And I'm going to give you the reasons why you should do it. Best day of your life. If you sit there and say, Todd McFarlane, well, that was a different era, Todd, when you started it. It's not the same. Okay, then I'm going to say, well, what about Robert Kirkman? He came down the pipeline. Yeah, but that's Walking Dead. That's Walking Dead. It's like, maybe that's not going to work. Okay, well, what about Brian K. Vaughan and Saga? Yeah, but look, if you get to the third reason why you personally aren't going to do what it is that you want to do, you just don't have the personality. If you're making up your own, there's going to be plenty of people making excuses why you shouldn't be doing any of this. But if you're making up excuses yourself, it's game over. Stop it. Move on to something else. I need the people, potentially, to go, I'll give it a try. And here's the try. Here's the reality, the cold, hard reality of what your confidence level has to be. You don't have to be greedy. You can actually lower the bar. And here's how you lower the bar. In July. July's sales of comic books. This is facts. July sales of comic books. In the top 100, 96 of those books were Marvel or DC. 96. Okay, why is that significant? Because it's good for everybody in this room that's got an idea. Here's why. Marvel's owned by Disney. Disney will not share those characters. DC is owned by Warner Brothers. They will not share those characters. Which basically means if you are Paramount, Sony, Lionsgate, Fox Studios, and I'm missing some of Universal, or Netflix, or Amazon, or Hulu, or ABC, or NBC, or CBS, or any other of the cable channels, and there's hundreds of them, or any of the 1,000 people in that city called Hollywood that basically call themselves producers, which all total is about 1,200 people, at any time, either as an executive or a producer himself, or anybody in between, are looking for ideas. And guess what they have to do when they look at the top 100? They have to take a black Sharpie, and if it says Marvel or DC, they have to put a line through. Why? Because they're already owned. DC's not sharing, Marvel's not sharing. The other 1,200 people are looking for ideas, and they just got 96 out of 100 whacked out. What's left? There's four of them that's left. Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles, already been bought, and where somebody's already owned it, and somebody's already got the rights in Hollywood. We're down to three. Saga, it's already been auctioned. We're down to two. Walking Dead, been making that for a while. That one's not for sale. And the only other one left is Spawn, and I'm not selling it, right? So we're done. So if you are now any of those 1,200 people and any of those corporations, and some of them, ladies and gentlemen, are worth billions of dollars. So they're billion-dollar corporations. They cannot touch the top 100 books. 100. So the first book that I could conceive of, I didn't phone the creative person, that I could come up with that was possibly for sale was 108. The next one was 126. And then the third one was like 144 that was for sale, right? So ask yourself this question. If somebody now, billion-dollar corporations and 1,200 people are looking for a comic book idea because it's hot, right? You know, they like comic books and superheroes, or just say the word comic book, it's there. The 1,200 people have to scratch the top 100. They stop at 108. So here's the question I have for you. Do you think that you can get up in the morning and come up with an idea that's the 108th best idea in the country? Shit yes should be your answer, right? Of course, I'm not asking you to get to beat Wolverine and to beat Superman and Batman. I'm not asking for any of that. I'm saying, do you think that you can get up and go, I'm gonna be 108. 108, that's my goal today, 108. that bar is kind of low. And I'm telling you, the Marvel and DC have a boatload between 100 and 200. So if you're in the top 200, you're gold. You're gold to those people. Oh, by the way, throw all that out the door. If you can sell a book, last month the top 100 book was selling 24,000 copies of a book, the number 100 book, 24,000 copies. If you sell that book at $299, $399, it's $1.50 a book. Do the math. It's over 30 grand times 12 months. Forget Hollywood, forget toys, forget t-shirts, forget hats. That's 30 grand. If you can write the pencil and ink your own book, if you can be the artist and writer of your own book, I'm not saying you can, because you're gonna probably have to find a team, but if you can, that's 30 grand a month in your pocket. Do that times 12. You won't be a starving artist, right? So anybody think you'll be a starving artist? No. You don't have to sell the same, because you get all of it. Image Comic Books owns nothing. We take a small, flat stipend, and the rest is yours. And oh, by the way, not only is that kind of good money, but